Welcome to Bench Boost Boys with me, Gav, and this bloke, Scott. How are you, Scott?
Doing well, Gav. How are you doing?
I'm okay, mate. So it's game week 10 forecast. Bite me on the arse.
Is that going to make sense later?
Hope so. You can catch us on socials at Bench Boost Boys. We've got a wonderful amount of synergy across our social presence, wouldn't you say?
Yep, it's all Bench Boost Boys. Gmail account, Bench Boost Boys. Twitter, Bench Boost Boys. Instagram, Bench Boost Boys.
There you go. No excuses not to find us. So yeah, if you do want to contact us about the mailbag, if you've got a question, Twitter at BenchBoostBoys or BenchBoostBoys@gmail.com. Also, don't forget you can join our private league on FPL. The code for that is P2IFBX, and BenchBoostBoys.club is the website. Before we get cracking then, we should give people a bit of a rundown on what we're going to cover this week. What are we doing and in what order?
We're just going to go through how we went in the game week. We're not really going to cover all of the games, just the ones that really mattered to us. Then we might take a bit of a break, then jump on to player news and the ones for the watch lists.
Awesome. And then another break, a rundown game by game for game week 10's fixtures and what's going on there. Another break, and then we'll finish with
some questions from the mailbag.
And what we're going to do in game week 10. How exciting. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's get it done. Okay, Scott, how was your game week 9?
Game week 9 was actually pretty damn good.
Do you want to tell us?
Really happy with my performance across the board. I had a couple of players that blanked, but I think I did really well. My defenders particularly delivered across the board. Starting with my goalkeeper, Mendy.
Yep.
Scored 6 points, got the clean sheet. Left McCarthy on the bench, though. He scored 7 points, so I couldn't have really gone wrong with my keeper decision. I did pick the wrong one, but I couldn't have predicted that.
No.
Ben Chilwell, again, obviously playing for Chelsea as well, got himself a clean sheet and a bonus point for 7 points. Hector Bellerin picked up all 3 bonus points for a clean sheet in the nil-all draw with Leeds, so 9 points there.
Yeah, you're giving...
Do you want to talk about that now?
I feel like I need to get it out of the way.
Any
regular listeners will remember that last week I may or may not, in fact it's definitely may because I did say it, said Leeds will never have a 0-0 draw this season because they score a lot of goals and concede a lot of goals, and I made the comment it might come back to bite me on the arse.
We didn't expect it to happen with that game at all.
No, not really, and it was 0-0 arguably, and we won't go into it in too much detail. Leeds could have snatched a win there, but they didn't, so it was 0-0.
They were playing against 10 men at Arsenal, but anyway, Masuaku, I brought him in last week and he delivered with a bonus point and a clean sheet, 7 points as well. Kilman, the only defender that really blanked for me, 2 points. I did leave Walker Peters on the bench. He got himself 3 points, so arguably made the wrong decision there again. Captain Fernandes had an absolute cracking game week. Had a penalty saved, but the keeper jumped off the line, so we ended up getting that penalty in the end. 3 bonus points. Captained him for 11 points, so I got 22 out of him. Grealish blanked, oddly. Wasn't expecting that. 1 point. James Rodriguez blanked again. 2 points. Harry Kane for Tottenham got himself an assist, but he also got himself a yellow card, so 4 points. Dominic Calvert-Lewin with 2 goals and 3 bonus points. 13 points. Easily my best player.
Yep.
He's been one of the most consistent players all year, so I'm not surprised by that. And of course, Ollie Watkins rounding it out with another blank as well at 2 points. Didn't leave any other points on the bench because Jorginho and Salah didn't play. Obviously, Jorginho is left out of the squad. I don't know, just sort of out of favour at the moment with Frank Lampard, I think. And yeah. Salah, obviously, with the COVID results. So ended up with 75 points in total, but I did take a 4-point hit.
Yeah.
Because as well as Masuaku from Sice, I also bought in Fernandes over Son. So that was the 4-point hit I took. But, you know, Son had a great game week. But I captained Fernandes, so I made up that 4 points there anyway. How'd you go?
So, I actually had a pretty decent game week, but I took a 12-point hit. I went a bit buck wild with the transfers. Obviously, we had the international break and then the Salah COVID news.
And, of course, you'd already used your wild card earlier in the season.
Yeah.
The last international break, possibly when we didn't even have to use it.
Thing is, though, and before I go into detail, I would say, and it's easy for me to say in hindsight, But you're almost a bit vindicated with a 12-point hit. It's not something I'd want to do too often, but the fact that I did have a good game week kind of makes up for that. Mm-hmm. So to give it a quick run through, I had Leno for Arsenal in goal, clean sheet, 3 bonus points. So we got 10 points in that draw against Leeds. Like you, I got Chilwell at the back, so clean sheet and a bonus point for 7, 2-0 against Newcastle for Chelsea. Creswell for West Ham, clean sheet, 1 bonus point, 7 points. Zouma for Chelsea, 6 points for the clean sheet. McGinn of Villa's blanked again.
Well, that's you just went through your whole back line, though, and none of your back line had blanked.
No.
So now we're talking about your midfield.
Yeah.
And this is where things...
story changes slightly. So McGinn of Villa blanked 2 points. Now, Grealish, as you've said, blanked and got a yellow card. I captained him, so I turned 1 point to 2 points, and I was all set to captain Fernandes right until the 11th hour when I just decided to roll the dice and give Grealish a go. That didn't work in my favour. Would have had an even more fantastic game week had that worked. I stuck with Son, so I got the goal, the clean sheet and 2 bonus points for 10 points there. Watkins of Villa blanked 2 points in that 2-1 loss against Brighton.
Can I stop you there real quick? That's 3 Aston Villa players in your team.
It gets worse. I already had 3. I had Konsa and I got rid of him to bring in Watkins. Watkins blanked. Konsa actually had a pretty good game.
Well, he scored a goal, didn't he?
Yeah, he did well and got bonus points. What are you going to do? So anyway, I'm very aware that I've got 3 Villa players and we'll talk later and that might change. Kane for Tottenham, assist and a yellow card, so 4 points. Calvert-Lewin, 2 goals, 3 bonus points for 13 points, much like you, of course. On my bench, I did leave 17 points.
Ooh.
That said, though, it's like more like losing out on like 4 points.
This is the third time, though, you've had a...
3 in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, you've had a bench worthy of a bench boost.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you know, Scott, but that's the name of the show.
Yeah, it's Bench Boost Boys.
Cool. Maybe it's named like that because I'm just... forever going to fuck up my bench boost.
Yeah, you're destined to play it the 1 week 3 of your players on the bench don't even play.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, 17 points there, but compared to who they would have replaced, it's more like I could have got 4 more points, so that's not too bad really, considering who I had in the team. So yes, obviously your captain switch wasn't brilliant. I had Stuart Dallas, Melier and Harrison of Leeds on the bench and Walker Peters.
So could have been a much more different story for you if you hadn't had 3 Aston Villa players. So obviously putting all those eggs in one basket, and we touched on this last week, it's probably not the best idea and maybe something you'll look to change.
Well, I mean, I've also got two guys for Chelsea at the back there.
Yeah, so. No, I don't mind having 2. I think 2's fine. I think 3, though, that's over.
I feel like you're being extremely judgmental, Scott.
I am.
All right, well, with that judgment, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back, discuss news, injury, speculation and who is on my ever-expanding watch list. See you in a sec. Bench Boost Boys, we're back with Gavin Scott. I'm one of those, you're the other. And now we're going to talk about news, injury, speculation, players to watch and transfer. Do you want to kick us off, Scott?
Well, the big news, obviously, coming out of the international break was Mo Salah, but he's not the only one affected with COVID now.
Mm.
Quite a number of players, but from an FPL perspective, the biggest ones, probably Sice and Will Zaha.
Now, for me, Sice is an interesting one because he's still owned by about 17% of managers. He's not even a guaranteed start anymore for Wolves, which is a strange picture. But obviously, if you've still got Sice, firstly, maybe why? And secondly, he's got COVID, so please get rid of him.
Yeah, I think we looked at the fixtures last week and thought this might be a fixture where he would actually rotate back into the squad with Cody. We weren't sure if he was going to play.
That's right, yeah.
Didn't happen because of that COVID test. So, well, yeah, I think it's probably, like Gav said, a good time to get rid of him. Will Zaha, COVID, they're probably, isolating for about 10 days or something like that?
Yeah, it usually sets them out. Like, if they can get the timing right, and it's not something you plan for, the players are typically out for 1, maybe 2 games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's too much going on with, Crystal Palace's fixtures coming up in terms of difficulty or what have you. They've got Newcastle and West Brom home and away, so... after that, they've got Tottenham, West Ham. It wouldn't be the end of the world if you held on to Zaha and maybe benched him, but it really depends on what your fifth fifth midfield player looks like, or your fourth defender. Well,
that's what a lot of people end up doing with Salah.
Well, a lot of people didn't though. I did. A lot of people sold them.
We were both sides of that coin, weren't we, collectively? You kept him, and actually, the more the week drew on, the more I was like, hey, you know what, it won't be terrible to just bench him for a week, but I did sell him, which, as we'll talk about later in the show, brings me on to a point around, do I want him back in the team, and how do I get him back?
Yeah, and when do you get him back, too? You've got to look at the fixtures, too. The other news, too, I mean, not injuries or anything like that, but Tarek Lamptey picked up a red card. And Pepe for Arsenal, not a huge FPL asset, but Tarek Lamptey is someone we like to talk about. He's a bit of a favourite here on the show. He's not back till the 5th of December.
Right.
Ross Barkley, 2 minutes into that game, took a free kick.
That was unfortunate.
Tore his hamstring by the looks of things. Not sure how major the tear is, or if it is even torn, or if he's just tweaked it, but keep an eye out on that news. Toby Alderweireld.
Yep, that's how you pronounce it.
Yep, that's definitely how you pronounce it. Groin injury. 50% chance to play. So he's probably one of Tottenham's most influential defenders, as is Matt Doherty.
Pogba also took a knock. He's not necessarily, well, not lately renowned for being a particularly high profile FPL asset, not to mention the fact that he clearly has making enemies by the week at Man United, but let it be known. Salah should be back. Wait till Friday's presses for confirmation. As a little caveat on that as well, we record this on a Tuesday. There's a lot more of the week to go. It's pretty common knowledge now that on the FPL website, they'll mark anybody as 75% who there's any amount of doubt on. And very often, 75%ers are playing. So my tip for you guys today is... keep up to date what's going on those press conferences, you know, the day before the game. That's usually when you get a bit more solid information out.
Yeah, and they tend to actually update a news article after those presses and give links to all of the club news themselves.
Yeah, that's right. So that's my tip for today. Check that club news right before the games.
And we will talk a little bit more about Salah later when we go through next week's fixtures. But moving on to the players to watch, who's made your watch list this week, Gav?
So... Salah is on it, which sounds ridiculous, but the reason he's on it is because he's not in my team.
Yeah.
So I will put any good player or anyone who's in form or that I've had my eye on or I've liked watching that I think could turn into a good FPL asset on my watch list. So it's a bit of a moot point. Salah's right there at the top. I've got Welbeck.
We talked about him last week and we were right.
And you talked about him the week before as one to watch. Yeah. And he had a good game. And then you're right, this week he actually scored.
Yeah.
That was a very good shout by you.
Well, I think, you know, it's easy to forget this, but, you know, when you see a player like Danny Welbeck, he's played for some huge clubs. And he's
on his day, fantastic player. Ended up having a strange career, but great player.
Truthfully, he's probably matured a bit. And, you know, it's made him... And, you know, strikers tend to play... quite well in their late 20s, early 30s.
Look at the likes of Vardy. I mean, even Kane.
Yeah.
You know, he was slightly older than you'd like. And actually, and not to digress too much, I'm always a bit concerned when you get these good young attacking players coming through at a club like Manchester United, because there's a lot of pressure on their shoulders, and then suddenly by the age of 21, 22, they're expected to be scoring 30 goals a season. It just doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, not to mention the cocaine. you know, for me, one of the players, the standout players that it's such an obvious thing to say now is Diogo Jota.
Yeah, absolutely, especially with a few injury problems going on at Liverpool. I mean, he was a fantastic player at Wolves, so you shouldn't be too shocked.
I mean... even before Salah's absence due to COVID, you know, Klopp wasn't afraid of trying all four of his main attackers, you know, Bobby Firmino, Sadio Mane, Salah and Jota all at once.
Mane's another one on my watch list, and I've been talking about him for a few weeks.
He's a good alternative to Salah as a differential in comparison.
Yes, I do like the idea that Mane can switch in and potentially give you the edge, particularly if you know if a lot of people have got the other Liverpool assets in your mini-leagues and whatnot. I've also got Ziyech on there. I've been talking about him for a few weeks.
Oh, we all have. He blanked last week, but prior to that, he had an absolute crack.
I think he looks good. Ward-Prowse, I'm obviously aware that recently... a lot of his goals have come from set pieces.
I want to talk about one of my watchlist players because this is similar to Salah. It's crazy that I don't already have him, but just looking at the next three fixtures for Leicester City, Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, same.
You know, you've got Fulham at home, Sheffield away, and Brighton at home. I know Brighton just had a really good win against Aston Villa, but those are three really nice looking fixtures for Jamie Vardy.
Absolutely. I've also got Che Adams, who we talk about a lot, but. You know, he's one of those players that we talk about.
We'll never get him.
Very well, maybe.
Werner, around that 6 million mark, there are just so many good options. I know. Shea Adams is not the best.
Sometimes your hand might be forced by injuries and whatnot, or fixtures. But Werner as well. I mean, he's a little bit more expensive than the likes of Shea Adams, but good player. Jota, we talked about, Fornals, Bamford. Obviously, I'm a Leeds fan, and I still feel slightly cynical about the idea that he's not always the most consistent. But if you're looking at things like points per game, he's obviously up there. De Bruyne. Now, it feels a bit crass to say, but I feel like any game week now, and I hope I'm not still saying that at game week 26 or something, any week now, De Bruyne is going to kick in.
We know De Bruyne's quality, and he hasn't really delivered that quality in this season, so he's got to do it eventually.
In fact, if you look at his first game week, he got like 13 points. He peaked in game week 1 or his first game week, which is probably game week 2, I think, because City didn't play the first fixture. Yeah. And then I've got, surprise, surprise, Andy Robertson makes his way back onto watch list. He actually had a decent game at the weekend.
7 mil, though. It's going to be tough to bring him back in.
Another one which is like, I got very used to having him early in the season, but because he's not in my team, he's on my watch list. James Rodriguez. I know he blanks every now and again. Callum Wilson as well, who I have had in my team. My pal Darlow at Newcastle. I still think at some point in the season, I'm going to roll the dice on him.
Yeah. You're about to talk about Luca Dean.
Oh, yeah.
He had a great game for Everton.
Yeah.
2 assists last week. He was a player that I think... I'm not sure if you had him. I had him.
No.
He got injured and I took him out. And, you know, he's pretty expensive. He's 6 million for a defender. So I don't have the money. And I'm not going to have the money for a while to bring him back in. But he has to sit on my watch list.
Oh, 100%.
And I talked a little earlier about the fact that you have 3 Aston Villa assets. At the moment, I've got 2 Everton assets. So I'm not going to bring Luca Dean in and have a third Everton asset, because I think that's a bit of a no-no.
Like if a team blanks, you mean?
Like we saw on the weekend with Aston Villa. Villa, you know, they, unless you lucked out and actually had Konsa, you weren't really going to score that many points, you know. So having 3 is banking on
it. I get the risk, but I will just flex for a second and say, in spite of that, I still scored, 73 points in a game week, so...
You only scored 75, so I feel like one extra point makes my point more relevant.
I guess I will allow that.
I'll allow it, yeah.
And just to wrap mine up then, Richarlison back on the list. I'll just keep an eye on him. Bellerin, you've already got him. I'm a fan. And a good little budget pick, potentially... Solly March at Brighton and Hove Albion.
Well, he scored a goal on the weekend.
He's solid.
I will say this, you just talked about Richarlison, and I said last week I'm not a big fan of Richarlison, but Dominic Calvert-Lewin did play better. He scored 2 goals.
Statistically, Everton played better when Richarlison played.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Let's just say you mentioned this last week. You specifically said this is a fun fact, and
I didn't have much detail around it.
You didn't. I still don't. Everton had a cracking performance, 3-2 win over Fulham. I mean, it's Fulham, and they still conceded 2 goals against one of the worst attacking teams.
That's not Richarlison's fault.
But DCL, up the other end, played better when Richarlison was right next to him. One more player that I want to mention, scored a goal on the weekend for Wolves, was Pedro Neto.
Yeah, Neto is someone who I often think about putting on my watch list. And maybe now, as a result of peer pressure from you, I might add him to my watch list.
Well, I should talk specifically why he makes my watch list. 5.5 million.
Yeah.
He's played a lot of minutes for Wolves.
Is he your new Jorginho?
He's averaging 4.2 million. He's not my new Jorginho, because Jorginho was 5.1 million when I sold him.
Right.
Now, I've just sold Jorginho. I'll get into who I transferred in a little bit later. But 5.1 million... didn't quite have that extra 100,000. I had 300,000 in the bank, so I had 5.4, and I couldn't quite afford Pedro Neto. If I could have, I would have.
But you didn't.
Take a break.
Okay, we will be back to talk about next week's fixtures, or this coming week, game week 10. See you in a sec. Welcome back to Bench Boost, boys, with me and you.
You and me.
Okay, so we're going to go over Game Week 10's fixtures. Would you like to start us off?
I'll start off by saying, just quickly for our Australian listeners, get your teams fixed by Friday night, because you're not going to wake up at 4:30 in the morning on Saturday to get them finalised.
Yikes.
The first game kicks off Saturday morning, 6 a.m, Crystal Palace, Newcastle.
Oh, to live in Australia.
And Crystal Palace, without Zaha, as we mentioned, he's got the COVID. I think it makes someone like Alan Saint-Maximin a little bit more of an attractive offering on the Newcastle side, because I think that Newcastle you know, due for a solid performance.
Yeah.
Didn't play too badly against Chelsea, you know, only conceding two against arguably one of the best attacking sides in the league.
Yeah.
You know, they could play quite well, even though they're playing away. I think he's an attractive fixture. I will tell you right now, spoiler alert, I did sell Jorginho and I bought in Saint-Maximin because I watched that Chelsea game and I thought, God, he's dangerous. He's a great player. But he loves running at defenders. And I really like that in an asset because he's going to be shooting a lot. He's going to be passing in front of goal.
Well, it's getting involved, isn't it? And it raises the probability of scoring points, literally.
Yeah, I mean, apart from that, there's not a lot for me to talk about with this fixture. I will say this, he isn't going to make it onto my starting lineup. He will still sit on my bench, but he's going to sit there as the number one sub.
Cool. Worth noting as well, then, for Newcastle, that Callum Wilson's a 75%er.
Yeah, and he's been solid for them this year.
He certainly has. If you've got Wilson or you want to bring him in, as we said earlier, just keep an eye on the team news because a lot of 75% is
different. That Friday press conference, even along this week, there might be updates to the FPL website. So the next match, we see Liverpool visiting Brighton and Hove Albion.
Yeah, obviously Brighton have got Lamptey suspended. Lallana's on 75. Salah's on 75. He's playing, isn't he?
He is playing, but I will say this. Keep an eye on Salah's performance because COVID, as we know, obviously affects the lungs. It's got to affect your fitness to some degree.
Apparently it affects your brain as well.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't know anything about science, but I do know that you cough a fair bit when you've got COVID.
Nick.
But the point is, if it's a lung, illness, he's probably going to be less fit. So even looking at the 75% chance, that means he's cutting it fine for a return. Will he play 90 minutes? Not 100% sure. Will he start?
Or maybe, like you said earlier, it's a good opportunity to look at the alternative Liverpool assets, particularly from an attacking point of view. And obviously, it's no news, but the likes of Gomez, Van Dijk, Trent Alexander-Arnold all got unknown return dates.
I kind of talked about this with a friend of mine who's a big Liverpool fan, and he casually pointed out to me that since all of those players have been lost, Liverpool have won something like 7 out of 8 games, conceding only 3 goals.
Interesting.
And he's right. They actually haven't done anywhere near as badly defensively as I would have thought they would have done. You know, so and it gives a player like Jota, who's incredibly cheap, the opportunity to actually step up.
Yeah, absolutely. Manchester City host Burnley. Burnley. Aguero's back. He was on the bench at the weekend. Jesus started. And perhaps this is the week that KDB turns on the heat.
I think it should be a bit of a walk in the park for Man City against Burnley. They're at home. Burnley are a pretty tough side defensively, and Nick Pope, great goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But yeah, Aguero back, Jesus back. Imagine if you had both of those players playing and KDB. There's got to be a point where Manchester City starts scoring more than one goal in a game, and this could be the weekend for it.
Yeah, I think you're probably onto something there, and maybe it is the return of Aguero that kind of is the catalyst.
Well, I mean, I don't think that Aguero is going to be, you know, especially considering he hasn't had a lot of game time lately, I don't think he's going to be the catalyst for... I don't think he's going to be the person going off and scoring all the goals, but he's going to release Jesus and take some of that pressure off Jesus and free up some space for him. And we know Kevin De Bruyne can pass a ball with pinpoint precision. So
Kevin De Bruyne on his day is the best player in the Premier League.
Yeah. I mean, apart from Danny Welbeck.
Or Ryan Brewster.
Yeah.
Okay, next game, Everton versus Leeds. I put a note down here. Obviously, I'm not going to repeat anything about 0-0 draws. But I said this one feels like it's either going to be like 3-0 to Everton or 5-4 to Leeds. I'm finding it very hard to predict Leeds games. State the obvious, Bamford due for some goals. Good thing to note as well is Leeds are back at full strength now, and so are Everton, really, outside of what, maybe Dean?
Oh, look, Dean's back.
Is Dean? Right, okay.
Yeah, a couple of assists on the weekend, yeah.
Leeds got Calvin Phillips back, not an FPL asset, to be honest, but a very good holding midfielder. He's kind of Leeds' Kante, if you like. So I don't know, what do you reckon?
Well, Everton are looking dangerous again. Obviously, they scored 3 goals on the weekend. DCL scored 2 of those. Richarlison's back gives that confidence that you've talked about. The big thing for me is that Leeds will be pretty confident after that game against Arsenal. Admittedly, Arsenal were down to 10 men, but they didn't concede.
That's what happens when you headbutt your opposition.
Yeah. I won't talk about the red card, but the you know, the fact that they'd scored or conceded 8 goals in the previous 2 fixtures, we knew that they needed to change something at the back, and they must have done that because they didn't concede against Arsenal.
That's actually a very big point, because what was it, the 2 games before that? It was
4-1 and 4-1.
8 goals in the last 2 games before that.
Yeah.
And to play Arsenal, who, you know, all jokes aside, are obviously still a very good team, if not at least a very good collection of players. And you're right, they got a clean sheet.
Well, one of the things that I've mentioned specifically here, you know, and I'll talk about it later in the Arsenal fixture, is that Aubameyang still hasn't really delivered.
We talk about KDB, but
Aubameyang's up in that price point. But we're on Everton. I digress. I apologise for that.
Sure, sure.
But you know, despite a blank from James Rodriguez last weekend, I think about 80,000 FPL managers already this game week have sold him as a result of that.
Have they really? And didn't I say last week as well, when we talked about this fixture that was upcoming, that it put the fear in me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know you added him to your watch list. I will say this about James Rodriguez and Everton: Leeds and Burnley are pretty attractive fixtures. Mm-hmm. For players like Rodriguez and DCL, I think they'll get some points. But after that, game week 12 is where it gets really tricky for Everton. I think they end up playing Chelsea, Leicester, Arsenal and Man City in 4 of those 5 matches.
That's pretty tough.
So for me, I'm going to call it right now. We always say, hold off until the end of the week before he transfers.
Mm.
I'm telling you right now, in game week 12, I'm transferring James Rodriguez out.
Like, straight away?
Straight away. I'm going to keep DCL because he keeps on delivering. But James Rodriguez, to keep a player like that who's pretty inconsistent, and this could come back and bite me in the ass in the same way that selling Son did, when we casually mentioned that we knew he was going to play better against some of the high defensive line teams. Maybe James Rodriguez will lift against those teams. I don't know. But I'm a very fixture versus form kind of player.
Yeah.
But the fixture's not on his side there. And at the moment, the form isn't either. So for me, game week 12 is probably when Rodriguez is going to go, irrespective of his performances against Leeds and Burnley. So
there we go.
Watch this space.
Now, the next fixture is West Brom, Sheffield United. We always joke about West Brom, and this is your yawn fixture for the week. But you've forgotten about one element.
Brewster Watch.
So he was out injured last week. He should be back. Maybe this is when Ryan Brewster really announces himself to the Sheffield United faithful.
Potentially, but I will say this about West Brom. They've played Tottenham and they've played Man United in the last 2 matches, and they've conceded 2 goals. So something's going right defensively for them.
Sure.
Because as much as they are an awful, awful team and they don't seem to be scoring any goals,
tight at the back.
They're really tightening up at the back.
Well, this is a good one for Brewster Watch. So I am going to watch Brewster.
Is he? I think he's only 75% chance to play though. So
that's all he needs.
Right.
Anyway, moving swiftly on. Southampton versus some team called Manchester United.
I reckon this is going to be a pretty good game to watch. You know, I'll be looking.
Yeah.
I've got assets from both teams, McCarthy and Fernandes. Now, I've done a little bit of a cheeky plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno Fernandes takes their penalties, so I'm going to play him, but I'm going to play McCarthy, because if in the event that Bruno Fernandes misses a penalty, those points that he will lose as a result will be negated by the fact that McCarthy will score a lot of points for a penalty.
Oh, you get loads of bonus points.
A lot of bonus points. So that's my plan for the week. I'm loathe to relegate Mendy to the bench.
Sure.
But neither Chelsea, who are playing Tottenham, nor McCarthy, who are playing Man United, have very good fixtures. So why not pick the one that's more likely to, you know, have a penalty against them?
Sure.
Because Man United, they get penalties all the time.
From a kind of availability point of view, obviously Ings is out, due back 19th of December. Pogba and Greenwood are currently on 75%. Make of that what you will.
Yeah, we mentioned last week and we talked about the fact that he just did really well, Shea Adams, with an assist for Theo Walcott in that game that Southampton played against Wolves.
I said our boy Theo would come good.
You did say that last week, so well done on that, good call. But Shea Adams, as a differential, he's less than 6 million.
Mm.
And, you know, he's someone that, as much as Manchester United are obviously a better side than Southampton, historically, Shea Adams is someone who is really taking this opportunity to shine while Danny Ings is out with both hands. So he could be someone that's, you know, putting balls through or at least scoring or having at least quite a few shots for himself. So
yeah, no, I think you're right. That will be a good one to watch this week. What's next?
Chelsea versus Tottenham, the fixture we were just talking about, actually. One of the games of the weekend. And you know, I have to say this. We both agreed, even though I didn't act on how much I agreed with you, that Son would play better against high defensive lines, like he did against Man City. Scored a great goal.
Vindication.
You kept him. I sold him. I got in Bruno Fernandes. I ended up getting vindicated because Bruno Fernandes had a cracking match.
True.
But we wanted to test the theory that Son played better against teams with high defensive lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes your top four teams, your Man Cities.
Basically, you could literally just boil it down to teams that aren't going to park the bus against Spurs.
Yeah. You know, so Son, I think maybe he backs it up this weekend.
This will be a really interesting game, actually.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I moved Mendy onto my bench. Because I think that Chelsea will concede. You know, obviously Tottenham still have Harry Kane as well, who's,
yeah.
I mean, he didn't score last week, but he's got an assist, he's got four points. For me, I think it'll be a sort of interesting thing to watch. And I'm going to look closely at the team sheet for this fixture, but Chelsea have the opportunity here to maybe shore up their defence slightly by playing Kante and Jorginho.
Right.
And while I am, you know, I admit that Jorginho has lost the penalties, you know, they're now we're sitting with Timo Werner, so he's probably not going to get those. I've sold Jorginho, bought in Alan Saint-Maximin, but Jorginho might get some game time against Tottenham. So I'll be looking at that just to see. And, you know, if he does get some game time and they do get a pen, it'll be really interesting to see who picks up the ball.
Absolutely. Pulisic still out, back 5th of December. We already talked about 50% and Doherty 75% if people still have him.
Yep. Next fixture, my team, Arsenal versus Wolves. I thought potentially with Pepe having gotten a red, it might be an opportunity for Willian to maybe come into this game with a bit more confidence that he might get a full 90 minutes.
However,
he's 75% chance to play.
Him and Saka 75%. You know, we can. I didn't get
that. Thanks, Siri. Could you try again?
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Oh, she's so sweet. Saka. So Willian and Saka 75% again. You know, caveat 75% as often play. Pepe obviously suspended because he's an absolute nut job. Size 25%. We talked about that. Offload him. Cody 75%.
Yeah, this one for me is another one where I have the choice of playing one or the other, but I'm going to play both. Last week I had to choose between Kilman and Walker Peters, and yep. I played Kilman.
Yep.
It was a one-all draw, so I wasn't going to get a clean sheet either way. I'm playing Bellerin and Kilman, I think, this week. So it'll be an interesting one for me to watch. As an Arsenal fan, I want to see them trounce Wolves, but as an FPL manager, I kind of want to see this one nil all. Is that a weird thing to say?
Well, I get it. Next game, Leicester versus Fulham. Castagne at 75%. Otherwise, everyone's okay, I think.
I don't have an asset from either of these two teams. Obviously not Fulham. I've looked at Todd Kearney, to be fair. Their captain. He's a pretty good player. But
I've stopped looking at Lookman.
Of course, that penalty disaster a couple of weeks ago. Jamie Vardy, though, you know, he's the obvious choice as a Leicester asset. Should have a pretty easy time against Fulham. I know that they tend to play the game plan of, well, how many penalties can we get, so how many goals can Jamie Vardy get?
Sure.
But he doesn't score a lot from open play, but
not this season at least. But, you know, there's actually, after the next break, we'll be going to the mailbag, and there was a good question involving Vardy, so we'll be able to touch on that then. And the last game of game week 10 is West Ham against Aston Villa. I said at the start of the season, not that I've had him on my team, but I'm a big fan of Antonio at West Ham, but he is injury prone. He's 50% to play at the moment. And obviously Ross Barkley, they've got him down to 75%, but it will be interesting to see how that develops.
I don't know how quickly they do scans after these things. Surely for a professional player it's quite quickly. So,
but this is also another good reason why you shouldn't just take the FPL website percentage rating as a gospel on injuries, because this stuff changes in an instant. So it's, if you're really concerned about if someone is going to play and you can hold out, that's why you should wait till right before the game.
Yeah. I think Aston Villa need to perform against West Ham because they just had a loss to Brighton and Hove Albion, obviously. I dropped Masuaku to the bench because of that performance. I mean, I know Masuaku actually had a cracking game for West Ham, had a clean sheet. But what I mean is I think Aston Villa is going to bounce back from that, especially someone like Jack Grealish, who's He's loving his football at the moment. I think he's got a really good chance of actually lifting this game. And I think along with Ollie Watkins, I think that those two are going to have a pretty cracking fixture. So
yeah, it will be interesting to see how they bounce back from a disappointing result. West Ham, for me, they're the overperformers of the year. If you ignore the likes of Everton and Villa and how they've done so well, outside of that stuff, West Ham, for me, have been the kind of dark horses so far, really.
We mentioned that they've received they got 8 points out of their first few fixtures, and those first few fixtures were tough. Stupidly tough.
So I feel like they're punching above their weight, so that should actually be quite a cracking game.
Yeah, one thing I should note too, with Aston Villa, they've been playing really well. They've got some really nice fixtures ahead: West Ham, Newcastle, Wolves, Burnley, West Brom, Crystal Palace. But then from game week 16, it gets a little bit tough for them. So Ollie Watkins, Jack Grealish, you've got to always look at Jack Grealish as a talisman, but for me, yeah, Ollie Watkins, someone that is quite inconsistent. He can have one great game where he'll score three goals or two goals, or get all the bonus points in the world, but then he'll have a couple of blanks.
I feel like often, and this is a bit of a broad thing to say, but if Grealish is having a really good game, then Watkins is the guy in the box ready to poke in the crosses from six yards.
At game week 16, they play Chelsea away, Man United away, Tottenham at home, and then Everton at home. So that, for me, is a tough run of fixtures. So I think I'm going to keep an eye on Watkins. I think I'm going to keep him in my team till game week 15. Game week 16, he gets a bit tough, but I think depending on how he goes over the course of those 3 weeks, at $6 million, I'd be hard-pressed to find someone else that I wanted in the team. If Callum Wilson's fit, maybe. Bamford, maybe. But I'll have to look at the fixtures for those teams. On it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up with the mailbag questions and then what our actual plans for game week 10 are. See you in a sec.
See you soon.
Welcome back to Bench Boost, boys. We are now going to do the mailbag and then what we're going to do this week. Scott, our first question is from Nick of FC Barcelona, who asks, how come everyone's 100 points in front of me? Is that how he asked it?
No. I think he probably asked it a little bit more...
You do it.
Frustrating. How come everyone's 100 points in front of me? He's just curious.
I know, I prefer mine. How come everybody's 100 points in front of me?
That's slightly rude. I will say this. I've got his team in front of me.
Okay.
I can tell you he's got some money in the bank.
Why did these people do this? Anyway, yeah. You go then. So if he's asking why is everyone 100 points in front of me, that he's underperforming, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to get into why I think... I'm not going to analyse every single player on his team, but I'm going to just point out about...
Broad strokes.
A couple of things that really stick out to me. First and foremost, he's got three players from Everton in his starting lineup and three players from Aston Villa.
Shit.
He has put a lot of his eggs in two different baskets.
This is a very naive move, isn't it?
It is. And I know you did it with Aston Villa, and I know you're probably going to learn from it. I hope you're going to learn from it. But what I would suggest to anyone...
I got 74 points for the game week. I don't need to learn anything.
How many points did you get from your Aston Villa assets collectively?
Five.
Probably four, I reckon. Grealish got 1 point. My issue with this is that any one team can have a cracking game week and it can really pan out. It can really work out for you. And well done if that happens. But if they have a bad game week, then you are really stuck with not a lot of points. Now, in this instance, two of the six players he had from those two teams actually did perform well. Luka Dean with the two assists and DCL. That's when you've got to look at it and go, well, who's the underperforming player from that team for me right now? And again, looking at the fixtures, James Rodriguez for me stands out as the player that might be causing an issue in the long run. Again, with Aston Villa, you've got Tyrone Mings, Jack Grealish, and Ollie Watkins. Three Aston Villa players I love. Again, though, I really think you need to pick two of them. Jack Grealish is the obvious one you've got to keep. And I really don't think there's much of a difference between Tyrone Mings and Ollie Watkins. You know, obviously one's a defender and one's a striker. $6 million for Ollie Watkins. Mings is only 5.1, so he's actually really quite cheap.
So maybe it's we talked about a lot of around $6 million strikers, so he could easily interchange Watkins for the likes of Callum Wilson,
Patrick Bamford, or even Danny Welbeck, $5.5 million. Bank himself a little bit of money. The other thing that stands out to me too is Bulldog of Sheffield United sitting in there in his back line.
How much is he?
5.2 million. Now, if you look at...
Would you be spending 5.2 million on Sheffield United defender?
I wouldn't. If you look at the fact that there's been 9 game weeks and he's scored 15 points in total. Now, that's an average of about 1.5 points per game. It's really not good enough for 5.2 million when there are so many better options around that price point. With 1.6 million in the bank, you can even upgrade that to a Luca Dean, who's in good form in saying that. He's actually got Luca Dean. Apologies. You know, you've got other options. He hasn't got any real issues in his midfield. He's got Grealish, Son, and Havertz. Havertz will slot in, obviously, easy. He's got Helder Costa for Leeds at 5.6 million. With 1.6 million in your bank, and with the ability to potentially drop Bulldog's price down to about 4.2 if you were to bring in someone like Max Kilman.
Yeah.
You could make a really easy change and bring in a solid midfielder around that 7 million mark. There are a few different options, but the point I'm trying to make is that if you free up some of that cash that's sitting in James Rodriguez, if you free up some of that cash that's sitting in maybe Tyrone Mings or maybe Ollie Watkins and drop down to a Welbeck or even a Rian Brewster, I would suggest just looking at those particular players. I don't really mind too much that he's got a player sitting on his bench, Jimmy Dunn, that costs $4 million and hasn't played a single minute since game week 3. I don't mind that so much.
It's quite an old-fashioned technique in Fantasy Premier League to do that, to just stack your bench or put someone on the bench who's just the cheapest guy in the game.
And it's only going to be an issue when you're playing your bench boost. Sure. That's the only time it's going to be an issue. So I don't mind that so much. That's probably not the biggest. So for me, I would say the priority... Nick is, and I say this knowing that it's hard to hear it, take the 4-point hit, get rid of Bulldog, and get rid of one of either your Everton assets or your Aston Villa assets. Now, the Everton fixtures for the next 2 weeks are quite good, but the Aston Villa fixtures for the next 5 weeks are really good. So I would be looking to get rid of James Rodriguez and Bulldog, play around with some money, bring in some better options, make sure that your midfielder that you bring in is the one that's going to be starting. Because you can afford to just play Chilwell, just play Luca Dean, and just play Tyrone Mings in the back.
Okay, so you've offered literal advice around what he could do with his team, which is really helpful. I'd like to approach it and subvert it a little bit and go, hopefully without being too patronising, because I'm not perfect by any stretch, but look at this and go, why does this happen? Like, what would lead a person to... make what we might perceive as being naive decisions, i.e. I know you said you don't mind it, but I certainly wouldn't just have someone on the bench for $4 million, especially when he's got a bit of money in the bank. He's got a Sheffield United defender. Bit of a loaded question I've more or less asked myself, but my advice would be watch the games, study the data, really, and then that surely would only lead you to make more informed decisions, I would say. Like, can you tell me what good reason you'd have a Sheffield United defender in your team would be? Would you have one?
I wouldn't, no.
No.
The only Sheffield player that I would be looking at is Brewster.
So I know there's...
At that price point, he is playing 90 minutes, and you can shift that money into your midfield, where the majority of your points should be coming from.
So you know that because you have been studying that data, and you are watching things closely, and you are trying to learn. Like, not everybody, and I completely appreciate not everybody is watching all this under a microscope.
And I will say this, though, about his team. He's actually scored 68 points in the last game week. So he's actually not doing too badly. His team's not that bad.
No.
But again, Aston Villa having a... bad game and a good game is the difference between him scoring 68 and him scoring 80 points.
Sure. No, you're right, that's a good game week. But I'm just trying to kind of look at it from a different angle and just go, we can suggest to you now what a couple of changes are. Like, the changes you've recommended are awesome, but it's like, it's that kind of, what is it, teach a man to fish and all that business?
Yeah.
So it's like, what could we tell a manager in this situation to perhaps do differently so that maybe this doesn't happen to them?
Well, I think for me, the biggest one is not putting all your eggs in one basket. I know you can have 3 players from one team, but I would never suggest doing it. I think that's a big one. It's a really easy one to change too.
The only reason why I would do it, and I mean, for instance, for me, I was like, Villa are doing really well. They should have a good result against Brighton. They didn't. So, and the same reason why I might have, say, 2 Chelsea guys in defence. I mean, that paid off. They got a clean sheet. But you're right. From a kind of probability point of view, you are putting all your eggs in one basket. And to do it twice in one team. And I do get why perhaps people land there, because they're like, well, these are kind of teams that are doing very well and the players aren't extortionate. It's not like trying to cram Man City and, you know, Chelsea players into your team. So I do get it. But no, I think that's good advice.
Last thing I will say, Nick, too, is that Fantasy Premier League is not a sprint. It doesn't matter if you have a crappy game week. If at the end of the year, the average points you've scored per week are higher than the average points that the rest of the people within your mini leagues are, then you will win. There is absolutely nothing that would stop you. And even if you have a really crappy, even if you're 100 points behind everyone right now, you are literally one lucky triple captain or one lucky free hit or one lucky bench boost away from actually catching straight up to those teams.
I feel like that's the whole point of those chips, isn't it? It's, yeah. It's a leveler.
And we've seen someone triple captain a player that, what, blanked?
Mm.
Or didn't play at all?
Yeah, some
so of them. There's always the chance that the people around you make that mistake. And if you are kind of listening to this, just remember too, and don't tell the guys in your mini league, if you time it right and play that free hit, play that bench boost and play that triple captain well, there are game weeks where teams play multiple games.
Yeah, my final thought on that is as well, if you are definitely looking for an edge or you want to improve, that nothing will replace sinking in the time to do it. And I appreciate not everybody wants to do that. And sometimes they might listen to a podcast like ours because they just want to hear us say, here's who should be in your team. And that's fine as well. But if you're looking to improve on your own merits, it's just time. Find the time to sink in and study that data and see what works. Bit of trial and error. That's all I do.
Yeah. Hope that kind of helps, Nick. And if it doesn't, feel free to just shoot us a really angry email. Or
bring on the hate mail. The second question is from Warren, manager of Huaya. Bit more of a straightforward question. Calvert-Lewin or Vardy for captain this week? Obviously, Everton are playing Leeds and Leicester are playing Fulham. What do you reckon?
This is actually a really tough one. I thought I knew the answer.
Yeah.
I would have, off the top of my head, I would have said Jamie Vardy. But Jamie Vardy, I think, relies quite heavily upon those penalties.
Yeah.
And as much as I think that Leicester should walk all over Fulham, and Jamie Vardy will likely play a big part in that, Dominic Calvert-Lewin is in such good form. There has been one game week, literally one game week in nine, where he hasn't delivered.
Yeah, absolutely. And Leeds can see goals. As much as they had a clean sheet against Arsenal, and it pains me to say it as a Leeds fan, my answer is Calvert-Lewin. There's just, you know, you can't really account for the penalties. They're not really things you can necessarily plan for. Obviously, if by some chance Leicester get a couple of penalties against Fulham, you can count on Vardy to score them. But outside of that probability, for me, it's Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think I'm going to go Calvert-Lewin there. So,
right, well, that's a much shorter answer than we gave Nick for his. And apologies again if I did come across.
Well, actually, there you go, Nick. Why am I 100 points behind? Just to fix it, just captain Dominic Calvert-Lewin. He's in your team.
There you go. Take that advice. Okay, so that brings us nicely onto what we're going to do next week. You already touched on your transfer. You've made your transfer, an early transfer.
I know.
Why did you do it?
Again.
Why did you do it now?
Again, I had 300,000 in the bank.
Yep.
I was opting to get rid of Jorginho at 5.1. Yep. And looking at the fact that he didn't play again, there's a good chance that those who were holding on to Jorginho would also be getting rid of him this week. So there's a good chance his price may drop. And in saying that, I know that St. Maximin's price is not likely to rise because he just had a, you know, they had a pretty crappy game against Chelsea.
Yeah.
So I wasn't panicking about his price going up, but I was panicking about Jorginho's price going down. And in saying that, St. Maximin finished that game. He finished that game fully fit. I know a lot can happen during the week, but he was always going to land on my bench anyway, and Jorginho wasn't going to play, so it's not like I was risking losing any points.
Sure, so it feels like more of a minor transfer in that.
So for me, you know, this week I would have been happy banking a transfer, but I wouldn't have been happy keeping Jorginho in my team, even though I think he has a chance to play against Tottenham. I'm not willing to roll the dice on it. I'm happy to bring in St. Maximin, potentially Newcastle, who actually have a pretty decent fixture. This week, they're playing Crystal Palace away. There's a chance that St. Maximin plays really well. And there's a chance that his value goes up for the next couple of games. So why not get in on that early? Apart from that, I'm going to captain Fernandes again. He's playing away to Southampton. I think he's more consistent away than he is at home. I would be captaining Salah, but I'm not 100% sure. He's not 100% to play. On top of that, he's also not 100% to play more than 50 minutes, depending
on
his
illness. Would you... Obviously, I'm asking you this particularly because I don't have Salah at the moment. Are you going to start him and then maybe do a tactical positioning of your substitutes in case he doesn't play?
Yeah, I've done that. I've got Salah starting on my bench. I've got Salah starting on my field, so I've got St. Maximin sitting there as the number one sub.
Right, so should Salah not play, St. Maximin will just slot in.
Yeah, absolutely. The other subs rounding out my bench, Walker Peters and Masuaku. So I did relegate Masuaku to the bench, as I touched on earlier, because I think that Aston Villa should probably score a couple of goals against West Ham.
Okay.
I've dropped Mendy to the bench, as I mentioned. I think Man United... McCarthy had a cracking game. He saved... You know, they drew 1-1, but he had 8 saves, got 3 bonus points, ended up scoring something like 7 points. For a goalkeeper to concede and still score 7 points without saving a penalty is huge. So I think that McCarthy... I think that Southampton are going to have a lot of shots against him by Man U. So he might have a good game. And again, if Bruno Fernandes takes a penalty as my captain... and misses it, or McCarthy saves it, McCarthy's going to get the points to negate that loss.
Got
for
it all worked out, Scott.
And Fernandes has missed a penalty and still scored really highly in the game. I think it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
so.
That's right.
Lastly, you know, I'm not super happy about the fact that both my keepers were kind of playing tough teams, and I think that Tottenham proved that they do play quite well against teams with high defensive lines. And that's the very definition of Chelsea's defensive line. Like, we saw Reece James on the weekend and Ben Chilwell pushing up really quite high.
Yeah,
that really leaves a lot of room for Son to get in the back. So I don't think Mendy's going to be capable of keeping a clean sheet, and I really don't think that this is going to be one of those there's a shot at each end every 5 minutes, like a game of netball kind of game. So I think that McCarthy's going to have a lot of shots against him. If he gets a lot of saves, if he picks up any bonus points, that, you know, that'll be why I'm playing him first.
That'll be a nice silver lining.
What are you going to get up to?
So I might save my free transfer. Anytime I ever say that, it never happens. In fact, I remember quite famously early on in the season, I planned to do that and then made 2 transfers. So I don't know, I might do that. Otherwise, if I am going to make a transfer, I'd be potentially looking to get rid of McGinn from Villa. He's blanked a few times recently and he's that third Villa player. So don't look at me like that.
My
Scott.
Advice to you is just not have 3 players from one team.
Well, I'm trying. You asked me what I'm going to do, I'm telling you.
You said you're going to bank a fucking transfer.
No, but then I said if I don't bank the transfer, I'll get rid of McGinn.
Why is there even an if?
You mean it's going to happen?
It's going to happen. You've got to get rid of McGinn. And you're not going to get rid of Grealish. You're not going to get rid of Ollie Watkins. You might as well fucking get rid of McGinn.
This peer pressure is excruciating.
Or alternatively, you could keep a differential. Get rid of Grealish. It hasn't been very good anyway.
Shut up. Your Jedi mind tricks don't work on me.
Who would you bring in for...
Okay, great question. Thank you. If I was to dump McGinn, I've got like 2.5 mil in the bank, by the way.
Ooh, money bags.
That's because I got rid of Salah.
If you ever want to bring it back in, maybe.
Well, I hadn't, no. I wouldn't have enough money from getting rid of McGinn. So if I brought in a replacement, I've got James Rodriguez.
Tough fixtures after the next couple of weeks.
Ward-Prowse. That's an iffy one.
Rather good at dead balls, but not much else.
Fornals. Or, you know what, I might actually go for a bit of another bargain switch and leave a bit of money on my bench. And it's already going around in my head that I feel like a bit of a hypocrite for criticising people who keep a lot of money on the bench or money in the bank. I might go for March from Brighton Hove Albion.
Well, he had an absolute cracking match last week, but he's actually scoring consistent points. I think he's around the mid-30s mark.
Yeah.
For a Brighton and Hove Albion midfielder, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, so you know what? I might actually dump McGinn because it ticks 2 boxes. One, it gets rid of a guy who's blanked 2 or 3 times recently, and it brings in another budget guy, so I can still keep a bit of money on the bench, because then potentially in forthcoming weeks, I might have to take a 4-pointer to get Salah back in the team. So... beyond that, which does, as you say, feel like it's going to happen, I won't bank the transfer. Likely, a bit of a copycat here, going to captain Fernandes or Calvert-Lewin.
Well, you could support our friend William by... Oh, Warren, sorry. William, Warren, they're all the same.
William.
You could support Warren by backing our answer and
yeah,
captaining DCL.
Do you know what's haunting me though already is I was meant to be captaining Fernandez
and you captained Grealish instead and he blanked and I captained Bruno Fernandez and shat all over you. So I think...
You think I should go for Calvert-Lewin?
I think you should go for Calvert-Lewin.
Stop it with the Jedi mind trick.
It's your turn to have the one up on the captaincy, so...
All right, well, that's my choices, so tune in next week to find out. And yes, I'm also likely to go for a 3-4-3 again.
Yeah, I'm doing a 3-4-3.
Okay, well, with that said, we'll live by these decisions. Well, we won't, as it often happens. Things change completely by Friday.
Well, at the start of the segment, you were going to fucking keep McGinn, and now you're selling him.
I never said I was keeping McGinn. Who said that? Just putting words in my mouth.
Play it back.
All right. Well, don't forget, you can send your questions in for the mailbag. We're on Twitter, quite active. So that's @BenchBoostBoys. You can email us, benchboostboys@gmail.com. Any of the other socials, the website's benchboostboys.club. I don't know where you're listening to this, but we're everywhere. So whether you're listening to it on the website, we're also on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts.
I thought you meant their locality. If you're in Reunion Island off the coast of Madagascar, if you're in Sweden or...
Well, yeah, there's no geographical restrictions unless, I don't know, maybe China or something. But anyway, we digress. You can listen to us pretty much anywhere. You can contact us. And we'd want you to. I hope you all have a great game week 10. And we'll be back next week.
See you next week, FPL managers.
Goodbye.